Today we begin our Advent series. Do we see what Isaiah saw? Thank you, Tim. No other Old Testament prophet looked forward to the coming of the Messiah just like Isaiah did. During his time, the people were living in turmoil, wondering if the Assyrians were going to overrun them, questioning the promise of God's presence, wondering if somehow disaster was right around the corner. And into this turmoil came the visions of Isaiah, visions of hope, of peace, of joy, of new life, and of love. So today as we kick off this series, we're going to be talking about getting sober for Christmas. Okay, I know what some of you are thinking. It's not quite that. You'll catch on in a few moments here. I don't know if you've ever done things so often that you don't realize necessarily when you're doing them. How many of you have ever left for work and you're driving to work the exact same route and you know, you're just kind of really busy and the next thing you know you're at work and you don't even really know how you got there and how you drove and stuff? How about when we're in here and we're singing songs and we're worshiping and you know the songs, you know all the words and you're just saying the words but you're not concentrating on them. You know, you're lost in a daze of thought. How about like me? You know, you're driving a long distance. And when you do that, it's very easy to get lulled into a state of preoccupied semi-consciousness. You know what I'm talking about. You're driving down the freeway, and your mind could be 100 miles away. You're thinking about something else. You're thinking about all kinds of things, everything except right where you are at. In fact, you're so lost in your thought, it takes you a while to realize that there is a highway patrol car that's coming up behind you and he's got his lights on and he's coming really fast. And what happens? In that moment, immediately, your mind comes back into the present right there where you're at. Your heart starts to pound. Your foot automatically touches the brake just to release the cruise control. Your eyes are riveted on the speedometer because you want to make sure you aren't going too fast. And then you look to see the police car that's still coming up behind you. Every nerve in your body is wired and your adrenaline is flowing. Your attention at that moment is focused outward, everything around you. And then how do you feel when the officer passes right by you? He zips on down the road. You see, words cannot express the relief that you have and the gratitude at that very moment. Might be what you call a sobering experience. So often we drive down the road and we're lost in thought. We're lost in things going on around us until all of a sudden a rock hits the windshield or something happens off the side and again you have to make that corrective action. You straighten up and you do whatever is necessary. You see, that is exactly what God has in mind to prepare us for the Christmas experience. We need to get sober for Christmas. We must come to attention in order to prepare the way. We need a waking up, if you will, a coming to a complete awareness. As the Old Testament prophet Isaiah put it, we need to straighten up and to fly right in order to see the salvation of God. And essentially, that is exactly what is happening. When the people go and they hear John the Baptist out in the wilderness, that's exactly what the words of John the Baptist accomplish. Today, our scripture that we're going to be using is found in Luke chapter 3, verses 1 through 18. I'm going to ask you to stand as we read through it. Now, I have to confess to you, my paper here says John 3, but I know it's Luke 3. Luke 3 is John the Baptist in the wilderness? I don't know why. It says John here, and so I'm totally lost. I'm going to read for you what I have, and hopefully what you're at is where I'm at and stuff like that. In the 15th year of the reign of Tiberius Caesar, when Pontius Pilate was governor of Judea, Herod Tetrarch of Galilee, his brother Philip Tetrarch of Iturea and Trachonitis, and Licinius, Tetrarch of Abilene, During the high priest of Annas and Caiaphas, the word of God came to John, son of Zechariah, in the wilderness. He went into all the country around the Jordan, preaching the baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. As it is written in the book of the words of Isaiah the prophet, a voice of one calling in the wilderness, prepare the way for the Lord, make straight paths for him. Every valley shall be filled in, every mountain and hill made low. The crooked roads shall become straight, the rough way smooth. And all the people will see God's salvation. John said to the crowds coming out to be baptized by him, you brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the coming wrath? Produce fruit in keeping with repentance and do not begin to say to yourselves, we have Abraham as our father. For I tell you that out of these stones, God can raise up children for Abraham. The axe is already at the root of the trees, and every tree that does not produce good fruit will be cut down and thrown into the fire. What should we do then? The crowd asked. John answered, anyone who has two shirts should share with the one who has none, and anyone who has food should do the same. Even tax collectors came to be baptized. Teacher, they asked, what should we do? Don't collect any more than you are required to, he told them. Then some soldiers asked him, and what should we do? He replied, don't extort money and don't accuse people falsely. Be content with your pay. The people were waiting expectantly and were all wondering in their hearts if John might possibly be the Messiah. Then John answered them all, I baptize you with water. But the one who is more powerful than I will come, the straps of whose sandals I am not worthy to untie. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. His winnowing fork is in his hand to clear his threshing floor and to gather the wheat into his barn. But he will burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire. And with many other words, John exhorted the people and proclaimed the good news to them. Thank you. You all may be seated. May the Lord bless the reading of his holy word. Now, you may know or you may have heard of some preachers who like to preach fire and brimstone. John the Baptist was certainly one of the best of those. He came proclaiming a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. And through this call to baptism, he is saying, you all need to be cleansed from your sins. You need to repent. You need to turn from your preoccupation about yourself and the things going on there to an outward focus on God. And so with it's the same thing with the sobering effect of that highway patrol officer who is zooming right by us. John is telling these people that there is an axe that is already, the fire of God's wrath is ready to fall on them, that they better straighten up and they need to fly right. John is using this very harsh judgment language in order to say, hey, you all, you need to wake up. He's giving them an absolutely necessary call so that they can be ready for the visitation of God. And the crowds, they all took John seriously. They were all ears to what he had to say. They were completely absorbed in his message. They were begging him. They were asking him. What should we do? What do we need to do if God's presence is just around the corner? What can we do to get ready? You see, that is exactly the question of Advent. Advent is a time in the church life, in the church calendar, that we set apart to prepare ourselves for the significance of Christmas, for the coming of Jesus, God's Son. Perhaps the best word that we can use to describe this time of preparation is the word humility. Recognizing that we have been totally lost in our own thoughts and doing our own things. Humility recognizes that we have been a million miles away from God and his presence and his purpose in our lives. There's a story about a minister who had been officiating a funeral. And when he was done officiating the funeral, the people asked him if he would head the procession all the way to the cemetery. And he gladly accepted. And as he got in his car and he's leading this procession, he has the radio playing and he's just kind of lost in his thought. And all of a sudden he sees a store and he realizes that there's something that he needs. And so he quickly makes a turn out of off the road and into the parking lot. And he's driving around the parking lot. And he's looking for a place to park. And then he looks in his rearview mirror and he notices that there's this whole string of cars behind him. And they all have their flashers on. Immediately he comes to the recognition of where he's at and what he's doing. And so he makes another turn and quickly gets back on the freeway, on the road, and makes his way to the cemetery. Completely humbled and humiliated by what has taken place. You see, that is kind of the same thing that happened to Israel. God had put his people out in front of all the others to lead the way so that all the people would know how to get to the one true God. And then Israel, they took their eyes off of God. They became preoccupied with themselves and with the things going on right around them. And now we see them in our scripture looking in a mirror, if you will, being humbled, realizing that they're not following. You see, that is the movement of Advent. Moving us from preoccupation about ourselves and moving us, sobering us, preparing us for the presence of the Holy One. That's the purpose of John the Baptist. He calls us to wake up, to get sober, to turn to an outward expectation, an outward attentiveness. An expectation of God's presence coming to be with us. It is an absolutely necessary, divinely ordered call. Now, you and I both know that there are always those who are going to refuse to get sober because they don't think they need it. There are always individuals who refuse to be humbled because they don't think that they've ever done anything wrong. We find out several chapters later in the book of Luke, that there were many who refused to be baptized by John the Baptist. We also see that these same people, they reject John's call to baptism because they didn't think that there was anything that they needed to be cleansed from. They were good Jews. They were Abraham's descendants. They were citizens of God's kingdom, righteous in all of their ways. And then you know that these exact same people who refused to receive John's baptism of humility, of repentance, they refused to receive Jesus. Christmas, it came right to them and they missed it. And they refused it because they weren't ready. You see, God made the two to go together. John comes first to prepare the way, and then Jesus comes to bring God's presence into our lives. You cannot skip to Jesus without the message of John. We cannot skip to Christmas without getting appropriately sober, appropriately humbled before God. And that is what Advent is all about. Advent moves us from a preoccupation of ourselves to a humble outward expectation, an anticipation of Jesus Christ. But what does it mean to be humbled before God? What does it mean to say that I am a sinner and I need to be cleansed? I need repentance. I need forgiveness. Well, John Bradshaw, he wrote a book. It was called Healing the Shame That Binds You. And at the very beginning of the book, he's talking about two kinds of shame. One shame he describes as a toxic shame. That is the shame that binds, that keeps you bound up. It is the shame that does not come from the truth. It is the shame that does not come from love. It is the shame that cripples and that condemns. It is the shame that God weeps over, that his heart is broken over, that he seeks to heal. And then Bradshaw goes on. And he says, there is also a healthy shame. There is the shame that heals. And this is the kind of shame that comes from God's truth. The kind of shame that comes from God's love. It is a shame that sobers. It is the shame that recognizes going in a wrong direction and needing to turn around. It is a shame that recognizes that my preoccupation with myself has led me astray. The shame that recognizes I have been lost in a self-centeredness. Lord, that we have forgotten about you and about your ways. See, that is the shame that actually called even John the Baptist. You know the man that Jesus said was the most godly man ever born? That is the shame that caused John to say, for these people who wanted to make him the Messiah were wondering if he was the Messiah. It was that healthy shame that caused him to say, wait a minute. There's one coming after me who is so much greater, so much more powerful than I am. In fact, I'm not even worthy to bend down and untie his sandals. I'm not even worthy to approach God in the most lowest way imaginable. Healthy shame. It realizes that none of us deserve God's presence. None of us deserve God's love. And yet he gives it to us. See, I'm not worthy. You're not worthy. None of us is worthy to meet the love that comes to us at Christmas time in Jesus Christ. And yet that is the only way that we can receive him is when we're humble. We need to get completely sober, completely humble, knowing that we are completely unworthy. You see, the false shame, it cripples us, it condemns us, but that healthy shame, it allows us to receive Jesus Christ. So how do you know if you're ready for Christmas? Well, the genuineness of your readiness will be seen in the genuineness of your soberness. The genuineness of your soberness shows up in your behavior. You know, as John put it, bearing fruit worthy of repentance. You get sober, you straighten up. You begin to look outwardly, you begin to focus on God, on others instead of yourself. Do you notice the question that all the people began to ask John? Even tax collectors and the soldiers, they were asking this question, what do we need to do to get ready? And all of John's answers had to do with their behavior at home and their behavior at work. They were behaviors that were marked by an outward orientation, focusing on things outside of themselves. Loving kindness, generosity. See, they were not concerned about their own needs. They were concerned about others. But the point that we need to hear is not the importance of the works, of doing the things. It is the importance of the genuineness of a sobering before God. And when we truly get sober, we will act like it. We will wake up and pay attention to God. We will listen to his Spirit as the Spirit speaks to us. We will love the people that God loves. And we can experience Jesus in our lives. And we will be changed by his presence. There was a story of a lady who went into an airport lounge as she's traveling. And she purchased a small package of cookies as she was waiting for a flight. And she was sitting there on this table and had her cookies. And she was reading a paper. And all of a sudden, she heard a rustling sound. And so she kind of looked over the paper she was reading, and she noticed that there was this neatly well-dressed man, and he was helping himself to her cookies. She couldn't believe it. She was all upset by this. She didn't want to make a scene. She didn't know exactly how to respond. And so she quietly leaned over and grabbed one cookie, and she ate it. A few minutes passed, and then she heard this same rustling, and she looked. This guy was helping himself to another one of her cookies. Oh, she was fuming by this time. Next thing she knew, they came to the end of the package. There's only one cookie left, and she is so angry. She didn't trust herself to say anything because she knew she wouldn't say anything really good. And then, as if to add insult to injury, the man took the last remaining cookie, he broke it, and he slid one piece over to her. And then he ate the other half, and off he went on his way. Oh, the lady, she sat there fuming over this, and she was so upset. And then all of a sudden, she heard the call for her flight. And as she reached down into her purse to get her boarding pass, she found her package of cookies. How humbling that must have been for her, but how generous for this man who had sat there with her. You see, that's what Advent is all about. Humility and generosity. We need to get sober for Christmas. We need to admit that Jesus came for sinners just like us. He didn't come just for drug dealers or for deadbeat parents. He came for mass murderers. He came for terrorists. He came for nice, good people just like you and like me. Jesus came for all of us. And so as we head into this Advent series, this Christmas time, we need to get sober. We need to change our attention from ourselves to God. Anticipating, expecting Jesus to come into our lives. Listen to these words as we close, found in Psalms 139, verses 23 and 24. It says, "Search me, God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. See if there is any offensive way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting." Are we getting sober for Christmas?